Hey there, Admissionado listeners, and welcome to another episode of the League of Extraordinary Applicants, the podcast where we chat about what it takes to create a winning application in today's super competitive landscape. I'm Stephen Black.
And I'm Cleo Handler. We're your official tour guides for this insider's journey. Each week, we tackle a specific topic, giving insight into each of our Ivy League experiences and the applications that got us there. Stephen, why don't you start us off by telling everyone where you went to college?
I went to Harvard. I graduated in 2007. My major, or as we call it at Harvard, concentration, which we'll get to in a moment, was visual and environmental studies with a focus on film theory. So Cleo, why don't you tell everyone where you went to college? It's a lesser known school with a far worse reputation, am I correct?
Oh, right. That's exactly it. I went to Yale, so I'll let you guys out there judge for yourselves. I double majored in psychology and theater studies, and I graduated in 2012.
Nice. And we will talk about that double major later, because all we are talking about today is majors. So last week, we talked about the first step in college. That awkward time of high enthusiasm, low self-esteem, and a hopefully moderate level of poor decision-making, freshman year.
This week, we're going to talk about the second major milestone of college, which will likely happen during your sophomore year, selecting a major.
At Harvard, they have a majorly pretentious name for majors, as I just said. Concentration. It's the same thing at Brown, too, because apparently they wanted to copy Harvard and also be pretentious. But I still used to say major all the time when I was on campus, just to force people to correct me and to annoy them.
Well, you certainly would have annoyed some Yalies, because we called it a major, like the simple old thing that it is. But selecting a major is obviously pretty important because it's going to determine your main course of study for the rest of college. Some students are lucky enough to know their major from the second they step foot on campus.
And others, like Cleo and me, need some time to figure it out, which is totally, totally fine. We're going to give you some helpful tips and advice to prepare you for this potentially intimidating process.
How do you know what major is right for you? When do you have to declare? What if you decide to change majors? We'll handle these questions and more on today's episode.
Let's move into our first topic, which is during the application process. Basically, what we're talking about here is, because we're mainly a podcast about college admissions, a lot of you are curious to know of how, you know, things apply to you during the application process. And some of you may wonder, you know, do I need to know what my major is when I'm applying for college? So say I'm filling out my application. They say, what are you interested in studying? Why do you want to come here? So what should any average applicant say there, Cleo?
Well, that's a great question and one that I get all the time from students. And really, you don't have to lie. You don't have to choose something and dedicate your whole life to it if you're not sure yet. But if you're totally undecided, I would say to at least give them a sense of some area of interest, because, you know, you can say, I'm considering majoring in, you know, neuroscience or economics, just to give them a sense of what you care about, the kind of student that you're going to be, and the fact that you've done your research and you're not going into this completely blind, because that just looks a little lazy.
Yeah, you don't have to state outright, I would say, what you want to major in. I mean, unless you're 100% positive. But yeah, like Cleo said, it's good to give a solid idea or one, you know, or two ideas of what you want to study. The reason is this shows you have some sense of direction and also allows you in maybe some of your essays to map out a plan of action. I want to major in economics and I'm looking forward to taking such and such kind of classes, which will give me the knowledge I need to do X, Y, and Z. It's a good idea to have this sort of direction in your applications.
Right. And it also shows passion, and like Stephen said, this can be integrated into the rest of the application. If you're writing an essay about, I don't know, about what literature means to you and your favorite book and how you feel like you're friends with all the characters and it's real for you, and then you write that you might want to study literature or playwriting or something, that kind of makes sense and gives us a sense of who you are as an applicant and what kind of student you're going to be. And we can kind of see you and remember you through a certain lens.
Exactly, and specific is much better in that instance. Show them that you've researched what their school is offering in this particular area that you're interested in. The biggest essay problem that I see with clients all the time is in these the essay question, why school X? Why do you want to go to Yale or University of Chicago or any of these other schools? And the worst kind of answers really are general and don't show any direction on the student's part. They just say things like, oh yeah, you've got great academics, top tier faculty, award-winning facilities. No, I mean, you want to approach it with more specificity. Why is this school right for you in particular? And one way to approach that is by saying, you guys have a program in, X, Y, or Z, which conforms to my interest because that's one of the things I'm interested in studying. And here's how I would take advantage of that, as a student at your school. I wanted to ask you, Cleo, and then I want to get your take, and then I'll give my story. But when you were applying, I mean, did you give a sense of, what you were interested in majoring, what you're interested in studying at Yale?
I did, yeah. I think I said, actually, I may have said psychology and theater, which is what I ended up doing, but I was more specific about it. I thought I was going to do a more medical side of psychology, and they had a neuroscience track within the major, so I thought that was awesome, and I looked up like specific classes that they had in that track that I wanted to take. And then I said that, they had a great theater department and offered lots of money for the students to put on their own productions outside of the classroom. So I definitely gave a sense of that, but didn't really commit to anything and was slightly off base in my predictions, but in the right direction. Did you?
Yeah, and what it's I did a sort of similar thing, and it's totally okay to be off base. When I applied, I firmly stated that I was going to be an English major. Like I knew that's what I wanted to do at that point, and that I was going to go into journalism in the future. So obviously, neither of those things came true. I do still love to write, and I do love English as a subject, but that was the direction that I was thinking of at that time. But the other thing I also did is one thing I sort of made clear in my application is that I was excited about the prospect of academic exploration, and I even mentioned topics and classes in areas that really interested me, but I wasn't intending to major in, such as film, astrophysics, and like 19th century Russian literature. Now, obviously, I ended up majoring in film, so that turned out not to be just a peripheral interest. But yeah, I gave them a solid sense of one thing that I wanted to study, and then I also kind of let them know that, hey, these are some other interests of mine as well, and your school has great outlets for those interests too.
Yeah, and I totally agree. Those are the kinds of convincing why I want to go to your school arguments that really go a long way.
Yeah, and that's as important as why the school is good for you in the end is what you are gonna at what value you'll add to the campus, and that's something we've talked about a lot in previous podcasts. The last thing I want to mention here before we tackle the second topic is that just saying you're totally undecided in your application, like you're just completely have zero idea. I mean, that can come off as pretty lazy. I will say it can come off as lazy unless you have an incredible reason for it. Like you've gone to this restrictive, ultra-religious school your entire life, and you want to break free and see what's out there, or you've been homeschooled and you haven't had access to, you know, the things that have interested you this whole time. And I mean, there's got to be a good reason for you to be completely undecided. And if there isn't, you know, give an idea of what you'd be interested in majoring in your application.
Right. Totally.
Let's get into topic number two.
All right. So this is choosing a major that's right for you. So obviously, it can be pretty intimidating to pick the perfect major for you with all of the options out there. So, Stephen, how do you know what's right?
You know, it might be hard to imagine, you know, if especially if you're just going through the application process now and you're still not even sure of where you're going to college. So how should you know what your major will be? But, you know, you can sort of trust us when we say here that by sophomore year, around the time you're picking your major, you're going to have strong feelings about certain departments at your school. That's just the way it'll be.
Yeah, and you know, if there are certain classes or departments or professors who you thought you were going to love, maybe you will, and that you get there, but maybe they'll be a little bit disappointing or not what you expected in some way, and that's okay. You have to really allow yourself some time and freedom to explore and trust your gut.
Yeah, and that's why it's important during your freshman year, like we said in last week's podcast, to dabble a little bit with your classes, get to know different departments, you know, and which departments have like certain faculty that you like, that you don't like, which department have certain vibes. I mean, there was something kind of interesting about being a freshman at Harvard is that you had this level of access that wasn't really afforded to a lot of upperclassmen, because there are some departments that are more closed off to having people who just want to take electives in them. And as a freshman, you can say, hey, look, you know, I really want to get to know this department. I want to explore. I want to take a class here. You can get a really good sense of professors and classes in that way. And so that's why it's really important to dabble and to, you know, take classes in your varying interests during freshman year.
Right. So you definitely want to give yourself some time to explore and to find out what you like and what you don't like. I may have mentioned this before, but I was pre-med freshman year, partially because I was just kind of lost and I thought it made sense and seemed like a well-rounded, good student thing to do, but partially because I thought I should and it was practical and it had a clear path. But pretty early on, I could tell that I wasn't committed and totally, you know, devoted to medicine. But it took me a while, a full year really, to let that idea go because of this feeling of obligation. So if you hate something, move on. Really, now is the time to find what you're truly passionate about so you don't spend the rest of your life bored. And that was actually the class that, you know, the freshman orgo class that I took was the lowest grade that I got at Yale because my heart really wasn't in it. And I was too proud or afraid to drop it at the time, but I'd really recommend to you guys, just drop the course, move on if you feel that you don't like it, you know? There's lots out there.
Yeah, I mean, I'd go along with that advice for sure and say that even if you're 99% positive of what your major is coming in, and you could be, it like in Cleo's case, pretty sure that you know, you wanted to do pre-med, you still want to leave yourself options and leave options open because things can and will change. I think in terms of majors, the worst possible idea, and I definitely saw this a lot in college, the worst possible idea is forcing yourself into a major or into a group of classes, either because, like Cleo was saying, you think you should, you know, oh, this is, you know, I'm going to college, this is what I should do. At Harvard, I noticed that there were three different tracks that people put themselves in because they thought they should, and then ended up unhappy. One was, you know, pre-med, another was pre-law, another was pre-business, like, you know, people who are forcing themselves to take applied math because they think they should become investment bankers. So that's a bad idea. And then the other bad idea is to do something because a parent or some outside force is pressuring you. I had a good friend whose father was pressuring her, you know, she was saying, you go to Harvard, you study something like economics. I mean, that's, you know, Marty Feldstein is there. that's what you study. You don't, and she was maybe one of the most talented visual artists that I had ever met in my life. And she was declared her major as economics during her sophomore year, was miserable, and ended up changing to visual and environmental studies, and now has worked all over the world in art galleries and is incredibly successful because she made that decision to stick with what she loved. And like Cleo said, this is your time to study something that interests you. So why do something, you know, that you feel obligated to? And this is like the time that, hey, you can run free and study what you love.
Right. And if you've ever had a random interest in something or just felt like, you know, I bet one day I'd be great at studying Russian literature or speaking French or studying hieroglyphics, you know, who cares if it's founded, but just try to, this is the time to check it out. And maybe after one day you'll realize this isn't a real passion. I was totally wrong, but maybe it'll stick.
Yeah. And here's the bottom line with, you know, with most liberal arts educations. I mean, we were talking about the top colleges and universities in America. So a liberal arts education isn't necessarily a pre-professional one. In a second, you know, we'll get into maybe some of the majors that are more pre-professional. But the idea of a liberal arts education is that it's just sharpening your mind and your skills in different areas. And it doesn't necessarily, you know, deem your future, whatever you study. So you can be an investment banker if you majored in English. I mean, you can be a lawyer who majored in East Asian studies, or a doctor who majored in folklore and mythology, as long as you did the pre-med requirements along with that. I had another good friend who was a history major, but is a doctor now because he did the pre-med requirements. He knew he wanted to be a doctor, but he also had an interest in history. And so, yeah, it's not a pre-professional one. You can study really what interests you, and then your career options will still be pretty wide open afterwards.
When you're trying to peruse these classes and find some great random ones, a lot of schools offer online student reviews, and those are so useful to try to see, you know, any outstandingly great or awful professors and try to seek out or avoid their classes accordingly. These people have been through it before and you can get a lot of advice from them.
Yeah, it's at Harvard, it was called the Q Guide, and it was really, really an amazing resource to figure out, you know, what different classes and departments and professors were like. So let's move on to our third topic of the day, which is when to declare your major and the possibility of changing your major. So this idea of declaring majors sort of freaks people out because it's tapping into what we were discussing before. Is like, you know, is this what I have to do with the rest of my life? Do I now have to be 100% sure? You know, can I still change my mind? And again, you know, just to let you know, believe me, by the time you're a sophomore in college, you're going to have strong feelings about certain departments or classes or what you want to study. But also know that you can change your mind in the future, just depending on your school or your program or what your requirements are like. It just might be a little difficult.
Right. And also, you know, there's a lot of people advise you against double majoring, but it's an option that I did, and we'll tell you a little bit about that as well.
Yeah, and some students worry, you know, whether when they're declaring, if they're declaring a major, a double major, a minor, you know, isn't this, you know, some students feel, oh, by the end of sophomore year, like I'm halfway done with college, isn't this too late to sort of say what I want to study? And no, it's not, because hopefully you've already taken a bunch of classes in your major already. And, you know, if you haven't taken a bunch of classes in your major, then you have 2 to 2.5 years to make up for it.
Right. And one also little side note I want to make is that If you're feeling behind when you declare your major, a lot of schools offer, summer programs, study abroad programs, awesome things like that for credit. And those things can help you catch up and are really worth considering. Like, I spent 6 weeks in Swaziland taking a course called Arts and Public Health in Action, the study of HIV/AIDS in Swaziland. And it was amazing, and I got 3 course credits for it.
Wow, that sounds like an incredible way to spend your summer as well.
Oh, it was incredible. It was like we were clowning with an organization called Clowns Without Borders in hospitals in South Africa. So, there are many amazing ways out there to catch up on credits and have incredible experiences. So keep your eyes peeled.
Yeah, and the other thing to take advantage of is, usually academic advisors, you'll often get paired with an academic advisor within your department, which may be different from who your, academic advisor was maybe your freshman year or something like that. I mean, this is something you really want to take advantage of. My academic advisor from college, it was one of the strongest, I would say, academic forces, behind me in my entire college career. He's somebody I'm still in touch with to this day. I did take, 3 or 4 classes with him, but also just the level of advice and direction that I got from him was really second to none. And that's something that, once you are sort of locked into a major, locked into a department, that's really helpful that you should also take advantage of.
Yeah, absolutely. I really didn't realize that was out there until, embarrassingly late into college. So take advantage of the advisors for sure.
Yeah, it's something that surprisingly a lot of students, don't know much about, but it's something that's really worth it. And along those same lines, one of the things that I would totally advise everyone to do is, I mean, once you declare your major, be active and proactive within your department. Go to functions, meet other people who have the same major as you. I mean, these are people with, essentially similar academic interests, and you should be sort of bonding with them on some level. So for me, I mean, I would say it seemed like the academics in college really got the most interesting after this point of declaring the major. Because before
Oh,
that,
totally.
I mean, I felt like I was a little bit wandering in the desert looking for something. But once you get into a major and into a department, you get to take higher level courses, seminars, tutorials, small classes that could be restricted to your department, and you get to go behind like the academic velvet rope. Was that the experience that you had with psychology and with theater at Yale?
Absolutely. It was like all the amazing upper level, like smaller seminar courses that I wanted to take. You just really can't get into them as like a freshman or even sometimes a sophomore. And once you declare and you're an upperclassman who's part of the major, you can take all the coolest stuff that you've been meaning to take all along. So I think it's really a great thing. And one other tip I just want to give you guys is pretty basic, but if you're really pretty confused about what to major in, just take a long look at what you've already taken and think about, are there more classes in one field than any others? Which classes have you liked and disliked the most? Are there some that, are cross-listed in different departments? And if you add them up, maybe you have a lot that overlap for a broader major like anthropology or American studies or something that allows you to explore a bit more. Those are definitely all possibilities out there. So keep in mind.
So, I'm just curious that, how did you know, you figure how did you figure out at, at the moment that those the double majors for you, those two were right for you? Did you have like a moment where you were like, did you resist any at first? Did you, embrace it later? I mean, how did that go?
Well, I knew that they were both things that really interested me for sure, so that wasn't the problem. But part of me, like I said, once I finally abandoned the idea of being pre-med, I still liked the idea of being a psychology major because it seemed a little bit more applicable and practical in the real world, and I got a BS in it, so I was more of a scientist, and I thought that would be useful. So I was definitely going to do that, but I really resisted the idea of studying theater for a while because I felt like, you know, it's just so unpredictable, and maybe you don't even need a major to try to act in the real world, and that's probably true. But I just kept taking those classes, and I wanted to take all of them. And after a while, I realized that I had already taken about half the major, and I would have been depriving myself if I didn't keep going. So I just kind of decided that a double was the way to go.
Yeah, I mean, it just sounded like you realized it was like, hey, this is has been in front of me the whole time, and you know, it's like a bad romantic comedy movie where it's like the person realizes like, oh, it's not the gorgeous girl I was after, but the
It's the
one who has,
geek.
yeah, who has pigtails and glasses, but she's been in front of me all the time, and that was theater for you, and yeah, that was sort of film for me. It was like my freshman year. I told the story last week of kind of getting into the film class at the last minute, really loving it. And then, you know, in my freshman spring and junior and freshman spring and sophomore fall, I was realizing that I was like using up all my electives on more film classes, and you know, taking incredible classes with like visiting professors and just finding myself feeling really at home in the department, that there came a point where I was just kind of like, yeah, like this is why would I study anything else? This is what I love, and it felt really good. And once I was sort of in that department, I mean, it was great. And like I said before, take advantage of your department once you get in it. I mean, I went to tons of film screenings, Q&As with famous directors, stuff like that. And then my department also happened to have some of the best, you know, parties on campus, just in terms of like wine and cheese functions with interactive installation art. And it
Sounds
was just
awesome.
like, yeah, it was just fun, and it was fun to get to know people in the department. It was fun to feel like I had an academic home, and that's sort of what a major should ultimately be.
Right, exactly. And once you feel like you're just kind of squatting in a house but not really declaring it to be your home, you might have a sign that it's time to move in.
Yeah, exactly.
So next we're going to talk about a kind of transitional topic that we've mentioned, which is double majors, minors, special concentrations, and other unique cases.
Yeah, so Cleo, why don't you just give us a quick rundown of what it meant at Yale to, you know, double major in something.
Okay, so a lot of people advised me, you know, to not do it unless I was completely sure. And that's valid because most of your classes end up being from those majors. And I even worried about that a little bit, that maybe it would keep me from getting to explore anything else. But A, that wasn't really the case. I found that it was possible usually to take one class in an unrelated field like every semester. Also, I could, you know, I could just kind of find things that were cross-listed in the film department or gender sexuality studies or, you know, different departments that were related but kind of ancillary. So I could knock out a few of those different unrelated interests at the same time. But like I said, I was really getting to the point where I just wanted to take those classes anyway. So if I weren't double majoring, I would just be, you know, losing a degree for no reason, because I wanted to take all the psych classes and I wanted to take all the theater studies classes. So I really just, the only time it was ever difficult was senior year when I had two theses. But it really wasn't even that bad. I did one each semester and it worked out pretty well for me.
That is incredibly intense, not only to have one thesis, but to have two theses. I mean, were both written? Was one like was one written, one performance? I mean, what was the breakdown there?
So for theater studies, I was the lead in a play. I did my thesis in acting. It was called Marisol by Jose Rivera, and then I wrote like a 20-page paper about my experience and, kind of putting the play in a historical context of other plays about similar themes and writing like an analysis of it from that sort of perspective. But it was also performance-based, and I was evaluated on that too. And then for psychology, like I said, I got a BS, so I was a Bachelor of Science. So I chose the route of designing my own experiment and then executing that experiment and analyzing the results in a big write-up.
Very cool. So I want to reiterate something that you touched upon is that, for these sort of special cases like double majors or minors, things like that, you can tell when Cleo talks about each of these, you're very you're passionate about each one. And I think that's the key, 'cause like you said, you ended up taking a lot of your classes in those two departments. You didn't really have room for electives. So if you're going to do something like a double major or a major and a minor in something, you've really got to be certain that it's what you love. These things are truly what you love, and again, that you're not doing them because you think you're not maybe minoring in something because you think you also should do it.
Right. And one other note I just want to say is that maybe the reason the double major made so much sense to me is because we didn't have a minor option at Yale. So that's something to consider for you guys too.
Yeah, and I mean, minoring, it can be a cool idea if you can relate it to your major. I mean, that's usually why people usually don't minor in something if it's just completely like they can't relate it at all. Because usually, I mean, especially at Ivy League schools, you're gonna have to incorporate it somehow into your thesis. So like is like say you're majoring in film, but you minor in Japanese or get it like a language citation in Japanese or do Japanese studies, you can combine those two into like a really cool thesis during your senior year.
Right.
And yeah, and for like special majors, concentrations, like a lot of schools have different sort of versions of these. A lot of Ivy League schools allow you to sort of design your major if you want, but this is very rare, and you've got to have like a really good reason to do it. Like you have to have this incredibly unique, singular idea of like combining anthropology, economics, and biochemistry, and you're going to
Right.
study this one very particular thing. And it's only usually then that you'll get special permission. You can't just sort of walk in and be like, yeah, I kind of like folklore and mythology, and I kind of like math. So, I kind of want to do
Let's do it
both.
all.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you kind of need a specific reason in that sort of case. But it's doable, and it might be a perfect solution for some of you guys who have those diverse interests that can be tied in a cool way.
Yeah, and apologies to anyone out there who really did double major in math and folklore and mythology and had an amazing reason for it, because and please email me your thesis as well, because I'd like to
Oh,
check
me
that out.
too.
Yeah. But yeah, the bottom line here is that you should only find yourself in one of these special cases if it helps you, number one, achieve your goals, and number two, if you're completely if you're passionate about what you're studying. Again, you shouldn't be doing this to compensate for something, you think you should do it, or a parent's pressuring you. In the end, that's only going to make you miserable. So, like Cleo said, we're going to be the hippies here, and we're going to tell you study what you love, man.
Yeah, forget about that should.
Yeah, should's not a word in college, man.
Right. So, anyway, guys, that pretty much wraps it up for today. I just want to do a little recap. The main topics we've covered have been, number one, during the application process, it's best to have a good idea of what you want to study. Number two, when choosing a major, try to stick with what you love and what feels right, man. Number three, you'll declare your major during sophomore year and then immerse yourself in the department. And number four, special cases for majors can be great as long as you're doing it for the right reasons.
Cool, man. I like your vibe.
Yeah, no problem. I'm vibing you too, man. It's pretty sweet.
Nice. All right, so next week we're going to dig even deeper into a topic that we touched on last week, social life in college. We're going to go not just freshman year, we're going to talk about it throughout your entire college career. So the reason why is because it's a whole different scene after your freshman year. It's one where you foster lifelong relationships, you know, you mature into a responsible adult, and sometimes, just sometimes, you fight for your right to party.
Right. Even party in the USA.
Oh, come on.
That was a hit when I was in college, I'm just saying.
All right.
Anyway, we want to thank all of you for joining us on this episode of the League of Extraordinary Applicants. We hope that our advice helps you get that much closer to achieving application success.
We want to apologize that Cleo invoked Miley Cyrus over the Beastie Boys. But we also want you to know to please don't hesitate to email us with any questions, and we'll make sure to answer as many as we can in future episodes. Hit us up at podcast@admissionado.com.
We're excited to hear from you. Questions, comments, feedback, whatever's on your mind. Miley Cyrus quotes included. All right, Steven, that's all for this week.
Join Cleo and me next time for another installment of the League of Extraordinary Applicants.